Hey everybody, this is Dave. Welcome back to the All Independent Reno Podcast. Before we get started, I just wanted to let everybody know that changing the format a little bit, instead of, not the format, but just the scheduling for releasing episodes, instead of putting out a new episode every 2 weeks like I had previously planned for, I'm going to be posting episodes as I finish them, which means no pressure on me, and I can still live my life, and, you know, I have to work full-time, and you don't want to hear about that. I just want to let everybody know that I'm going to be posting new episodes as they happen. So I could have a new one in a week or two or a month, but I will be working diligently to book new bands, book, you know, people for the show, because I'm just doing this for free. And if I had sponsors, then you would have another episode or a new episode every week or two every week or something like that. I just don't want to compromise the integrity of my shit, is what I'm saying. Anyways, let's get into the next episode. It's definitely been worth the wait for a new episode because I really like this band, Jake Houston and the Royal Flush. They're a country band based out of Reno, and or a honky-tonk band too, Reno's premier honky-tonk band, it says on their website, which you can visit at jakehouston.com. And we had two of the guys come down, Jake Houston, who's the lead vocalist and guitar player, and Dre Ballard, who's the lead guitar player for Jake Houston and the Royal Flush, as well as Moondog Matinee, which is also a great local band that you should check out. Ivan Gates, who's the bassist and background vocalist, and David Gervais, who's on the drums, couldn't make it. They also call him Pudge, by the way, which I think is very endearing. And anyways, you know, shout out to those guys. I wish you could have made it. But let's get into the next episode. We talked about, you know, a lot of things from their upbringing in country music, how they got into it, vis-a-vis the Rolling Stones or, you know, Merle Haggard and that sort of thing. That's enough of me talking. Let's get into the episode with these guys, Jake Houston and the Royal Flush. So I got Jake Houston and the Royal Flush. Well, it's actually not the whole band right now, but we got Jake Houston, who's the lead vocalist and guitar player, and Dre Ballard, who is the lead guitar player. Thank you guys for coming in and talking to us on the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for
or
having us.
Or not talking to us. I don't have another person here. It's just me and you guys in the garage. But so you guys are billed as Reno's premier honky-tonk band. I'm sure that most people out there know what honky-tonk is, but what is honky-tonk? I mean, if you guys had to describe it.
If I had to describe it, it'd be like, I don't know, it's like kind of like that 70s era of country, like Waylon Jennings-style stuff, more like dancing music that's like who done who wrong type of stuff. You know what I mean?
Like the cheating girl.
Like cheating and drinking songs that you play in bars. It's not necessarily outlaw music. It's like what I was...
Which would be like a Hellbound Glory type of...
Yeah.
That's more outlaw country.
Yeah, that's how they build themselves.
And you guys are definitely not pop country at all. Because I've noticed on all your Facebook and Twitter pages the hashtag fuck pop country kind of thing. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm not a huge fan of pop country whatsoever. I mean, there's a time and a place for it, but when I looked up you guys and listened to your shit, I'm like, I gotta have them on the podcast. So
thanks, man.
Yeah, so I appreciate you guys are here. And Dre, you're also in Moondog Matinee.
I am.
All right.
Yeah, been with them for about 6 years now.
Damn.
And decided that I wanted to find a guy to play country music with, and I saw Jake at the Love and Cup one night and had to start a band with him. So we set out and he was just playing his songs and solidified a band, and now we're pretty much playing twice a month, three times a month, as much as we can, just doing a little different, not rock and roll at all, very much country music, kind of my what used to be my closet fetish is now what a lot of people know me for.
Yeah, don't tell anybody, but I like country music.
I do. I've always loved country music. It was my way to rebel.
Yeah.
Was to play country music.
Shania Twain in the closet kind of thing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah.
She's my girl.
It's better to have your boots been under.
So Jake, how long have you been playing? I think I read something that you've been playing since you're 8 years old.
I've been playing guitar since I was like 10.
So okay.
I've been playing guitar for like 12 years. Been singing for about 7, no, almost 8, I think. I started playing, I learned how to play guitar. I grew up playing like classic rock and stuff like that, blues for the most part. And I started playing in a blues band in Genoa at the country store. They had a open mic night every Friday, but it was basically just same band played there every week, and sometimes other people get up and play. But started sitting in with them, and I'd just join and solo and, you know, play rhythm a little bit, and they did a lot of country music. So that's kind of where I started playing it, you know. But at the same time, I also started listening to it more because I had some redneck friends. So
yeah. Well, it's Genoa, that's expected.
Yeah, well, I grew up in Carson.
Okay.
So one of my good friends growing up, like, rode bulls and stuff. So I was always hanging out with him, and I started like listening to country music more instead of, like, when I was a kid, it was like on because that's what my mom listened to or whatever. So
okay, So what did you grow up listening to? Like you mentioned, like Waylon Jennings and
I didn't necessarily grow up listening to any of that. I grew up listening to, like, I have an older cousin who is like a sister to me, so she was always around, and she's like 7 years older than I am. So I was always listening to whatever she was listening to, which was like a lot of Blink-182 and things like that when I was in like middle school and all that. And I started playing guitar. My guitar teacher showed me like the Beatles and like Hendrix and just all these like icons that I kind of fell into for a long time. And then all the old country music I just kind of like found by myself just from like digging into other stuff, you know, or like I'd start like... I used to sing a lot of George Strait when I first started, you know, like that 90s country stuff. And then, like, one time a friend of mine who was bartending in Genoa at the bar we played at was like, man, you should do some Merle Haggard songs. And I was like, who?
You know,
talk, right? Yeah. I was like 16. He was like, what? So he, that's where I, like, started.
Well, personally, I'm glad you went in that direction instead of the Garth Brooks 90s country direction.
Yeah,
for sure. What about you, Dre? What did you start listening to in closets that you didn't want to tell anybody about?
I grew up with a mother who, like, to this day, the Rolling Stones are the greatest band on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
And so I had, you know, Rolling Stones and Joe Cocker and some really great English rock and roll rammed down my throat, and I was always told that the Eagles were bad, and that country music was bad, and so I played punk music in high school, and then once I got over that and started playing more guitar, I started listening to, like, how great the country guitar players were, and how good they were, and my way to rebel was to, you know, just, there was always a soft spot for country music, and gospel music, and just like the simple turnarounds, the vocal based music, and not distorted, just listening to what they were saying. And I've kind of just always taken to that. Now I still play rock and roll, I still have a 100-watt Marshall, but I also have a Telecaster, and you know, like, I found myself loving the songs by my favorite bands, like the Rolling Stones, and songs like Wild Horses, you know, that's a country song done by an English rock group.
Yeah.
I started, you know, listening to what was being put into the song and what they were influenced by. And I had a huge blues phase where I would be at Third Street Blues every Thursday night from the age of 21 to probably 25, played every week. And, you know, went to Chicago, saw the Crossroads Festival, got into what Clapton was into, and then saw that he was doing a bunch of stuff with J.J. Cale, and that was just kind of like straddling the line, and now I love both types of music and play them as much as I can, both
that's
country,
kind of,
country and rock.
That's kind of funny that you were rebelling by, I listen to punk rock music, so my rebellious side is going to listen to country music.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and gospel music and blues and shit like that. It's usually the other way around.
And
but
the finding like, the bands that I really love, like I got went head first into the Allman Brothers and lots of Southern rock. My dad gave me this Elvin Bishop record, and he was, you know, like a founding member of Chicago blues band called the Paul Butterfield Blues Band.
Okay.
And he's the less known guitar player, but he signed on to the Allman Brothers label, Capricorn Records, and he plays this ton of like great country stuff, has songs about fishing,
mm-hmm.
and then the Allman Brothers have all this like great like major key stuff, and it's not straight blues, and I just kind of, why do I like this? And I really liked it because it sounded more country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are my favorite Rolling Stones records the ones with Mick Taylor? Because he was doing that open tuning slide playing, and it all made sense to me. And when I started playing country music, just country music, it felt right. And I just love the steel guitar. I love those bends. And I've tried to bring a lot of that to what we're doing, because we don't have a steel guitar player now, so
mm.
I kind of have to fill in the spaces.
Yeah, because the first record that that I listened to from Jake Houston was the Carrying the Flame on Spotify.
Yep.
And at that time, it wasn't Jake Houston, the Royal Flush. That was just a solo record.
Yes. Yeah, I did that before I put the band together. Because the band, we've been together, it was like a year in April from the first, like, Royal Flush show,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
Yep.
So the record I released last May. So it had already been done by the time we all got together and started like playing stuff. It was mainly session musicians, like a dude named Kevin Maxwell played drums, and he's done a lot around here. He played in a Sacramento-based country band. I think he plays around still, and then there's like Jim Park played pedal steel, dude who lives in Carson, it's fantastic. Kurt Mitchell played guitar on it for the most part. Dre also played on three songs, I think.
Yeah.
And then our bass player Ivan played on that album, and Samantha, who did play fiddle with us,
mm.
played on that as well. She also played keys for it. So that was like, I just had a bunch of songs I'd written and wanted to get put out, you know.
So there were a bunch of songs that you already had put together that, like, over like a few years or so?
It was probably like 2 years that mm. I'd, because I moved to Florida after high school and like wrote a bunch there
mm.
when I was there. And then I came back and I had like a bunch of songs. And I was like, yeah, man, I just make a record, you know.
It was like Miami or was it like
Orlando.
Okay.
I lived in Orlando.
Yeah.
I went to Full Sail University.
I was wanting to go there, actually.
Yeah. I went, didn't graduate, but I went for a while.
Super expensive.
Yeah, that's why I didn't graduate.
Yeah.
Are you still paying on those student loans?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, probably will be for quite a while, but, you know.
Well, hey, with the time that you went through, you probably have a lot more knowledge than I do about doing this kind of shit, so.
It's all practice, man.
Yeah, it takes some time. Yeah, it definitely takes some time. But I try to do this with just a stripped down, like, I'm going to do with one mic and then this program and that's it. But that's cool. So, how long did it take for you to put together the whole record? Did you just, like, do, like, a recording session over, like, a few day period of time? Or
no, it took a few months. Because at that time, I'd stopped going to college. I was attending WNC in Carson. And then I kind of, like, stopped and like started working. I was working at a motorcycle shop doing like motorcycle repairs,
mm-hmm.
and then like pretty much just living at home, using my paycheck to like pay for session time and musicians and all that stuff. So it took a long time. We really pieced it together. It wasn't recorded live, you know, everything was done in a different session.
Just in the individual tracks and
yep. mm-hmm.
overdubs and stuff.
Yep. So that's how we did that one. And it sounds great. I still like listening to it.
Yeah, it's a solid sounding record. I really like the record. Yeah, sure.
Vince Gates recorded that down at Play Your Own Music in Carson City.
Okay.
And he does recording stuff there. But yeah, it's fantastic.
And we were just talking about, before we started the recording, that you guys are going to be putting out a new record, too.
Yep.
So how long have you guys been working on that for?
Since the day we started playing together. Yeah. He had new tracks that didn't make the first record, and pretty much every month or so after that, we'd be putting a set together, had the band solidified by June or July of last year. And we would just learn a new song, or he'd write a new song, and by the time we went into the studio, we had played everyone live some multiple times. And just got them really tight, went in, recorded live in 3 days, and just knocked it out. Had a really good band, good sound, good engineer and producer. Got really lucky with them.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, and so you guys were able to pretty much tighten up the sound and the songs by playing them live, and then going into the studio afterwards. So it's kind of a backwards approach. You know, a lot of times people would go into the studio, I would think, you know, as an artist, and then get it recorded and then go out and play them live.
Yeah.
Well, if you have all the money in the world, you can do that.
Yeah, sure.
We don't get paid to go to the studio. We pay to go to the studio.
Yeah.
We get paid to go play live, and we're one of the few bands playing around that isn't, you know, a straight cover band or a bar band that's doing 2.5 hour, 3 hour sets.
Oh, wow. That's a long set.
You know,
that's
awesome. I think we do 15 or so original tunes in the set, and that's more than most bands do in a regular set, and we do that and then do another hour and a half of covers.
That's pretty fucking impressive.
And always try to change the covers, learning new songs every week just to keep it fresh. You know, country music isn't the most complicated music to play, but it has to be played right, and it could get old for a drummer to just be hitting the same thing week after week. So we try to keep the rhythm section really on their toes, learning songs, learning harmonies, kind of just keeping everything really tight and having lots of music to play.
That's cool. So, and we were talking outside too that you guys are recording it at the studio that's near Petaluma?
Yeah, it's in Cotati, which is between Petaluma and Santa Rosa.
I've never even heard of that town before. It sounds like a cocktail. Cotati.
Well, it's tiny. This is some little vineyard town out there. And that's great. The studio is called Prairie Sun Recording. And we went down there. Friends Zach Gertis and Kevin Bosley were producing and engineering on it. And like Dre said, we did it 3 days. 10 songs all tracked and finished up, so it was intense, a lot of work, long days, but worth it.
You gotta be on the ball to pull it off in 3 days.
You sleep there, you know, it was a rainstorm and it flooded the whole place, and we didn't have running water for one of the days.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like all the rooms they have there are great. I do know that Mark Sexton and those guys went and cut to actual tape there, did some recording there, and everything that I've heard come out of that room sounds great. The old Tom Waits stuff, he actually moved to the area. They have the Tom Waits room there where he went and cut, and it's an old grain silo storage place for their chicken farm where they store their chicken feed. Really nice old Neve board. They've got a brand new SSL in their mixing room, so you've got just tons of mojo, but also the best gear, and we lucked out to even get that place. And it's because Zach and Kravis were so good with the owner, Luca.
Yeah.
And for people that don't know, a Neve console is an actual physical console that it's not digitized, right? It's
exactly.
Just running cables and cords and the old school way of doing shit instead of just being mixing in the box, which is what a lot of people do nowadays. So it gives it that actual more warm feeling, more realistic kind of feeling.
You also have to know exactly what you're doing to turn those knobs. They don't just let anybody play with those. So
So you have some engineering and mixing experience as well, Dre?
Just every time I've ever worked, I've worked with our producer and engineer on the last Moondog record, on other stuff, and they've just kind of let me look over their shoulder always, so I've seen some really nice stuff, and just, I wouldn't ever say I'm an engineer, yeah. But if someone asked me to push a fader, I'd at least know what that meant, or, you know.
You're like, oh, it's that one.
Yeah. I know what channels are.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Reno is really lucky to have some really good spots, you know. Granny's, the old studio that just got torn down, had a great old board.
Mirage has a digital board, but it's fantastic also.
Tom Gordon is, you know, nationally renowned. People know his name if you know about recording stuff.
I'm familiar with him.
And he teaches at the university, but he's got a beautiful studio out in Sparks. And, you know, there's a lot of things that you would never know came out of Reno. Mm. And lots of plaques on lots of walls. Yeah. When you walk into studios, it's kind of a trip, and you're just like, "Where's this lowly country man from Reno coming in?" And there's a picture of Ozzy Osbourne on the wall, and it's just a copy of his gold record. Like, cool.
Yeah, you'd never think. What else did you see over there? Who else recorded there?
I know Dr. Dre did some finishing on the 2001 record over at Granny's. And I know Tom Gordon did a ton of the mixing and stuff on that. Mm-hmm. When we were at Prairie Sun, just in that room, who was the...
The Turnpike Troubadours just did their last record there. They spent like a month there. And they're like an Americana band that's fairly popular.
Yeah, you mentioned them outside. I got to check them out.
Yeah.
So I've seen the... I haven't seen you guys play yet, but I've seen that you guys have been playing quite a bit around town at, like, the Loving Cup and at Shays, you know, opening for Hellbound Glory, yep. Picnic, and, you know, even further back, like, at Red Dog Saloon up in Virginia City. And you guys are going to be playing a show, tomorrow, which is the 4th of June. So by the time this comes out, that show will be over.
Yes.
But that'll be at the Saint. And you guys have another show coming up, too. In a couple of weeks?
June 11th.
Yeah. Okay.
We're playing at Lincoln Lounge. That's on 4th Street. It's at 9 o'clock. I think it's like a $5 cover. We're sharing the bill with the Future Criminals of America.
Okay.
And the Bindle Stiffs.
Okay.
One of my personal favorite bands ever.
The Bindle Stiffs?
The Bindle Stiffs.
They're, I like the name. I've never heard of them either. Shit.
So most of the band lives here. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty influx who's playing drums with them. But their songwriter and singer and guitar player is Matt Mangeris, who lives in Phoenix. And their bass player is Mike Mechanic, who I'm sure everybody in Reno has at least seen around. He does quite a bit of stuff. But they're a phenomenal, not quite old-timey country band. All acoustic instruments, just great songwriting. They play all the fun, weird events, Scally Cat, bike art show, and every time they play, it's a hoot. And I've been on a couple tours with them. There's going to be a tour this summer that they do around Reno to like Gray Eagle, Tahoe, all by bicycle with upright bass and trailers. So. They're just...
I've heard of another band doing that before, too. Where
they're great, and they've done it...
Yeah, blown up everything on their bikes.
Done it a couple times. They're super fun, so we're glad to share the stage with them. And like they've always helped us out or given us support, and that's going to be a great show. Lincoln Lounge, yes. June 11th.
Nice.
Yep.
That'll be cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you guys played at just something else recently, the Reno Sculpture Fest, too, right?
No, that was Moondog Matinee. We were...
Oh, okay.
We were going to play that, but we ended up doing a Battle of the Bands that night.
Oh, at the Sands?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's what I mixed. I mixed the two up.
Same day.
Same day.
Same spot. Very different.
Very competitive, too. Did you get a chance to do both? Like, the Moondog thing?
I loaded up and just brought my pedalboard. Luckily, I used two different amps and two different guitars, so I just grabbed my pedals, walked across the retrack, and was there. But it was a very interesting... country music was used loosely for the Battle of the Bands. We had a good reception, but the winner was not our style of music.
Who won that thing?
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Don't worry about it. Look it up if you want to.
It was to have a set at the Night in the Country.
Oh, okay.
And we thought we would just throw our name in there and, you know, put a finger in the eye to the establishment. And they said, all right, well, kick rocks. So we're not playing at Night in a Country this year. So if you were hoping to catch us there, yeah, Luke Bryan can take that one and run with it.
Well, maybe we'll see you guys at Stagecoach or something like that instead.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Bandit Town would be great.
Mm-hmm. There was a band that I just I saw a house show of called Susto. I think they're from out of I forget where they're from North Carolina or something like that. And they did a house show at this guy's house. I did a podcast episode with him called the 7th Street Station. And he has like bands from like Dawes to Future Birds to Deer Tick and stuff like that play at his house. And they played there, and they ended up going to play at Stagecoach.
Oh, that's cool.
Pretty recently. So, and you guys are possibly planning a tour, like a West Coast tour?
Yeah.
Like later on this year?
We don't have quite enough media presence out, so we're.
I don't mean to pressure you guys.
No. It's in the works, but you can only send so many emails out to so many bars and cities, and then I think we just need to focus on having the record done, having the videos that we're getting done from the Reno Sessions guys.
Oh yeah,
and then we'll be able to, you know, send a full press
portfolio.
Kit.
Yeah, press
and,
kit.
I mean. Anyone that sees it knows that we're fairly legit and a real country band, but you can only guess so much when a band from Reno with some young 20-somethings ask you if they can play at your honky-tonk, and, you know, so it takes a lot of persuading, but having been playing music for a long time and touring across the West Coast many times and playing to no one in Eugene, Oregon... I feel like we're in a good spot where the ball is rolling.
Yeah.
Better. You guys are getting ready to be primed to just.
Yeah, yeah. At any time, if someone calls us, we would love to go and hit a tour. And anything that we can do, you know, for other bands coming through. We just, when we played that picnic show, we made some great friends that are both. Salt Lake City and
Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Who are those guys?
Lauren Walker Madsen is his name. He's got his band's called The Hustlers. It's Lauren Walker Madsen and The Hustlers.
Okay.
And they do like, it's like outlaw cowpunk type of stuff.
Okay.
They're great musicians, you know, got a lot of good songs. Fun time.
It seems like that's the way to do it nowadays, too, is to collaborate with other bands, have a sense of community, and then trade off on shows.
Trading shows is the number one way to get yourself DIY into a new city.
Yeah, we were talking about that on the Failure Machine episode, because they have a lot of friends, like, in the Bay Area and elsewhere, too, and... Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely the way to do it. Well, I am looking forward to seeing you guys eventually, and actually, I'll probably be at that show, the Lincoln Lounge show, for sure. Yeah.
Great.
Because I don't have anything to do that day, so fuck yeah. Yeah, I'll be down there. Who else are you guys playing with at that show? It's the...
Bindle Stiffs?
Bindle Stiffs. All right.
It's painted on the bridge out in Verde, if you ever forget it.
Ah, okay.
It's been there for years.
I'll drive out there if I forget.
In the Future Criminals of America.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Cool. Well, it was good talking to you guys, and you're going to play a couple songs right now, too, right?
Yeah. Let's see. Here's one off the new record. I'll play a few off the new album
that
we're going to be releasing. This one is called Sage. So...
Mm-hmm. send me down the line. Take me back to them old Sierra Pines. There was a love I once knew, till I made my own world blue. Lord, ain't that the truth? She always wanted to be mine. She even told me time after time. So that I die in this boxcar. I'm too unlucky to get that far. See, you're a fine end in my life. I've done it wrong too many times.
Very nice.
Thank you. You know what? Let's do... I'll play one from the old record. Still got copies. So.
Nice. About Hold On?
Hold Me?
Hold me? Me? Is yeah. It called Hold Me?
Hold okay. Me. Uh-huh. Yeah, I can do that
one. One about the Lady of the Night?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that one.
It's the trickiest song we play.
That's is
my,
it?
That's
it's
my favorite one. That's my favorite one. So yeah, I can do that.
Said and weep, girl off the street.
Tuesday.
The name of the band again is Jake Houston and the Royal Flush. That was Jake Houston playing a couple songs here in the garage. Big thanks to Jake and Dre for coming out, and Ivan and David, or Pudge, sorry that you couldn't come out and make it, but I'll see you guys at a show sometime soon. Check out their music at jakehouston.com. You can also follow them, Jake Houston and the Royal Flush, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Download their music on iTunes and Amazon, or when you go to their show at the Lincoln Lounge on June 11th at 9 p.m., you can pick up one of their CDs. Maybe buy a shirt, maybe buy a button, something like that. Also, buy a beer when you go to Lincoln Lounge. Duh. I don't even know why I needed to say that. But they're playing with the Bindlestiffs and the Future Criminals of America. It's a $5 show. Go out and support your local honky-tonk band at your local bar, your local watering hole. Anyways, like I said before, we'll have a new episode when it's done. So be on the lookout for that. In the meantime, thanks again for listening. Tell your friends about the show. And till the next time, this is Dave with All Independent Reno Podcast. And I'll talk to you all later. Okay, bye. See ya.